Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy and your grace, all of which, Father, we don't deserve. Father, we lift your name up, for you indeed are the one and only true God, full of grace and truth, whose power and strength and intelligence is past our comprehension. And yet, Lord, being as great as you are, you regard us in such a way that you know every hair on our heads, in such a way that you love us, you sent your Son to die for us. Father, how can we fathom that? How can we grasp that? So all we can say, Lord, is thank you. Thank you. And now, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we know, Father, that your word says if we regard iniquity in our heart, you don't hear us. So we pray, Father, that you would search our hearts now, each and every one of us, Lord. And if there is iniquity there, Lord, Father, bring it before us that we can confess it to you, Father, and pray and ask your forgiveness. Because, Lord, your word also says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray that you would do just that. And then, Father, we would lift these things up to you, Father, our country. A country indeed, Father, in turmoil. Everyone, it seems, Father, everyone's eyes are upon our economic troubles. And yet, Lord, the biggest problem is with our spiritual condition. Father, may this nation come to realize that if we take care of our spiritual condition, our morality, then everything else will fall into place. Father, we do pray for our leaders. Father, for an election that's soon going to take place. Father, we pray that, well, Lord, that we know that your hand's in it, and we know, Lord, that you're in control of it. We pray, Father, and ask that you would have mercy on us as a country, and that, Father, you would have mercy on us as a people, and, Father, that you would draw us to yourself, that all eyes in this nation could look upon you for wisdom and look upon you for guidance. Because that's where wisdom and guidance come from, Lord. The correct wisdom and guidance. So, Father, we pray to that end. We do pray, Father, for the protection of our troops overseas and, Father, just everywhere in this world. There are many that are in harm's way. We pray, Father, for their safety. And we pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts, Lord, to draw them to yourself, to draw them to your Son, Jesus. Father, we do pray for the families of the men that were just killed in the helicopter crash. Father, we pray that some good would come out of it, Lord. Some good. Father, we pray for the problems right now, Lord, that they're having in London, in Europe, with the mobs just going crazy, Father. We look at it, Lord, as we draw closer to the return of your Son, we know, Lord, that things will get worse and worse. We do pray, Father, that you would help us as Christians, as believers, to stand and to just speak of you when we can, speak of you when we must, and that, Father, we would be ones to be continually in prayer for these situations. Father, for even the mob problems right now, Lord, that they're having in Boston and Philadelphia, Father, it almost seems like the same thing that's taking place in London. Father, we do pray for the people that they would find the peace of Jesus, Father, that these random acts of violence, Father, could be stopped. Father, for this church, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're still here. We thank you, Lord, that the doors are still open. And we do thank you, Father, that you have blessed us. And now, Lord, as we prepare to hear a message that will be brought to us by our missionary, Father, we pray that, oh Lord, that you would be with him, that the words that he would have to say and the report that he would give to us, Father, would be pleasing to you most of all, Lord. And that, Father, our eyes and ears would be open and our hearts would be attentive to the point, Father, that we are changed by your word, so that when we leave this building today, Father, we will be growing closer and closer to you with every breath. Father, we thank you and we love you, for it's in Jesus' precious and awesome and wonderful name we'll pray. Amen. And right now I'd like to introduce Mr. Chuck Hall. And who, for some of you who don't know, I asked if I could share this with the congregation. You know that he was an intern in this church 41 years ago, 1968. That was... Sounds like a long time ago. I didn't mean it to sound that way. that was when this church wasn't here. That was when it was in town. He's been here for a long time. So let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey, you made that sound like it's so long ago that I could hardly make it up here to share with you. But it was a delightful time in our lives. Our son Steve was born at the Riverview? I don't know what it's called now, but River District? Yeah, River District Hospital. I'll never forget that January night. It was one of those nights in Michigan where everything is frozen. And we got in the car, and fortunately it started, but as we drove, we lived where Everett's, in their little house behind Everett's there on whatever, I've forgotten the name of the street, but it's just like there was no springs in the car at all, just bump, 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 and even the delivery room was cold, very, very cold. Anyway, we had a wonderful time here, and God showed us that indeed he could use us in the ministry as we shared and worked with the youth of this church. And it's good to be back. It's been a while since we've been here. It's a shame it's been so long. We're not that far away, just about an hour door to door. And we'd be glad to come anytime and share with you. And Sandy is not going to share today, but you ladies, if you'd like to hear a good word, invite her sometime to speak, and she would have a good word to share with you. And over these 41 years at the church, actually the church has supported us for 41 years. We were interns here even before that, before we actually were appointed to Japan. But so over these 41 years, we indeed thank you for being faithful in sharing in our support, financially as well as in prayer. We do appreciate that very much and ask that, you know, as the Lord enables you to continue. We keep talking about retirement, but the closer retirement gets, the harder it seems to be to retire. So we said that this coming October, we're going to retire. Well, not this October, but a year from October. But we'll wait and see whether that'll actually happen or not. But thank you for your support. And you know, as we've shared in the song, Make Me a Blessing, you know, I thought as we sang that, we could give the benediction if we would just simply follow the direction of that song alone in our daily lives. We could dismiss and go and do it. Also, I thought, I've been studying this summer, not in a formal Bible study, but I do that starting in September, but during the summer I've been studying both Philippians and Ephesians, and as I was rereading through my notes, I am one of those guys that believe in journaling, and so I don't journal. It's not a diary, really. It's more of a, I take notes at church, and I have my prayer log in here, and I, as I read in my devotions, I try to note things, and so that I can go back. I've got a whole bunch of these notebooks, and I said one of these days when I retire, I'm going to go back and start reading through those notebooks to see, you know, what kind of journey I had spiritually. Well, I got to retire one of these days, or I'll never get to all those notebooks that I have all these notes in. But in Philippians, Paul talks to the church and encourages the Philippians. He also encourages the Ephesians to stand firm. And we just, as we had the morning prayer, and it was rehearsed in our hearing, troubles. The world's always had troubles. It will, because of sin, have troubles. And so what we're called to in Scripture is to stand firm. Don't let these troubles bowl us over. They're liable to, aren't they? You watch the news, and after a while you get discouraged, and you just say, good night, how much longer can it go on? And what can I do? Sandy was challenging us in the car this morning as we drove to church, drove here. She's reading a book, and it challenged us in the area of what are we doing for the people that are starving to death in the world. And so even that's a challenge to be addressed. And we need to, as Paul calls us, to stand firm. But I thought one other thing that Paul called me to was, and I want to share this with you, if you don't need to turn there, because twice I'm going to refer to this Philippians portion. So if you want to turn there, I'll share now and then a little bit later on. But from chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul is talking to the Philippian believers in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And so that's the way I feel about this church, as standing behind Sandy and I and our family as we minister, that you share in God's grace with us for that which you do. Sometimes we see people come and go in our church, and we say, boy, what good are we really doing? Well, remember that you have out on the wall, there are missionary families that are out in the world somewhere ministering the gospel. And according to what Paul shares here, you share in God's grace with them. And that should be an encouragement to you to continue to support the worldwide movement that God calls us to be in the world, to share the gospel with all people. And I wanted to mention, since we do have other family members pictured on that wall, and we're going to try to get you a new picture because two of our grandkids aren't shown in that picture, but Steve and Tanya, who minister in Japan, and we're going to share more about Japan in a few minutes, because you all know what's taking place there, and you're probably wondering just how you can be involved in that. We want to share that. But so Steve and Tanya, our oldest, Steve was born here in St. Clair, married Tanya, and they have two kids, and they're ministering in Japan at the Christian Academy in Japan. That's where we ministered for 21 years or so, teaching there. And most of those kids in the days we were there were missionaries' kids. Today, it's quite a mixture of kids that are at that particular school. Then our second child, Beth, is married to a German, and they're part of an organization called Operation Mobilization, or just OM. It's an interesting organization. They have one of the big ministry points is their ship Logos Hope. And it's just in India. Actually, they're going to have to anchor out of port for a few days because they can't sail until they get some pipes fitted and back on board. But the Logos Hope just finished a ministry report. They had 77,000 visitors on board. Now, this is a ministry that blows your mind, because the first year that the ship was in service, they had 1 million guests. They presented the gospel to 1 million people. And that's just one floating ship with a bunch of volunteers on it. Even the captain is a volunteer. Nobody's paid. They're all volunteers, and they sail the seas of the world ministering in different ports. So our daughter and son-in-law are involved in that ministry. And they have three of our grandkids that are now located in the ship's office in Mosbach, Germany. A really interesting ministry. There are all kinds of interesting ministries. And a lot of times I go to a missions conference and I said, I only have one life to give. It would be neat if I could do that or this. But unfortunately, you can't do that. Our next child is married to Rob. They live in Redford. Now, you might say, well, they're not foreign. But Redford is a foreign, almost like a foreign country. It's just a suburb of Detroit. They have two of our granddaughters there. We just spent a week with them up at the lake on vacation. So we're happy to have Sherry and Rob close by us. And then we have our youngest, Angela, with us. And I'm not going to take any of her thunder. She had a great experience this summer being in Costa Rica. She was in Japan last summer. So she's one of our youngest missionaries in our family. And she's going to come and share with you a little of her experience of this past summer.
Thank you. Costa Rica. One thing that we do at training camp is 3 hours every day we work on our skill groups. And that's dance, drama, puppets, and for Costa Rica, soccer. And so that ministry is what we use when we're actually there. So Costa Rica is the only team that has soccer because soccer is such a huge thing in Costa Rica, and it was a great ministry outlet there. We met a ton of different people just by saying, hey, we're going to play soccer in the field in your town. Will you come? And we had a lot of people show up and just wanted to play soccer. And then after that, we would have a chance to minister with them. But on our normal days of ministry, which happen 6 days a week, and on Sunday, we would minister in the church. But we would go out to different towns in Costa Rica. And we would start with dance to get people that would come and watch. And then we do dramas. And then that's how we start talking to the people around. We're like, do you understand this drama? Like, do you know what this really means? And a lot of people would kind of be like, yeah, I know that that was Jesus or whatever. But it was really cool to explain to them, you know, there's a deeper meaning to this. And we would share the gospel with them. And I don't speak any Spanish because I speak Japanese, but I was on the prayer side of things. You go out and share in groups of two. Your one person shares and the other person prays. And so I was on the prayer side of things, but so I got to see the power of prayer and how effective it really is, because we did have a lot of people come to Christ. We met Christians while we were there. We met a guy that wanted to come and help us share in one of the cities. So that was really unique. We also do balloon ministries. A lot of this attracts kids, and then, of course, their parents are going to be there. So then going out and talking to the parents. So that was really cool. I was on the balloon team, and there was always a ton of kids that were just so blessed and happy with these balloons. We also had one other ministry called Jesus with Skin On. This was my favorite ministry. I know my D group leader also loved this ministry. It's basically being like how Jesus was. Going out and doing everyday things in the city, like picking up trash, for instance. There's a lot of trash in the cities in Costa Rica. And just picking up trash, you know, a lot of people were already looking at us because we were foreigners. But, you know, they would look at us a little bit longer when you're carrying a pile of trash that they've just seen you pick up along the road. I don't know if anybody ever stopped and asked questions, but it definitely planted that seed, like, those foreigners are doing something for us. And the first time we did it, I was terrified to go out and actually, like, help people. But, you know, we prayed about it and started picking up trash and kind of were walking along, and there was this guy asking for money. And we didn't want to give him money, but we told him we would buy him a hamburger. So we went and bought him a hamburger and got to give that to him. And just, like, seeing his face after that, like, how happy he was, you know, some people just maybe drop a coin or two in. But, you know, we took the time to, you know, ask him how he's doing and give him a hamburger. And so that was definitely really cool. There was another time when we were in the capital, San Jose, and it was kind of our off day. We got to do shopping and stuff like that, but we turned around this corner, and there was this lady sitting there. She had an oxygen tank, and she was asking for money, and we passed by, and I asked my group to stop. I was like, I really want to help this lady. I don't know what her needs are, but can we ask her something? So my D group leader went over and asked her what she wanted. She said she just wanted milk. So we went and got her a little box of milk and two rolls, and like went back to her and gave it to her. And like when she was opening the bag, I will never forget the look on her face. She was so happy, and like somebody actually paid attention to her. And so, you know, that image is ingrained in my mind forever. And both of those people, I've thought about so many times that I remember to pray for them. And so that definitely was a great ministry and my favorite by far. The next thing I have is Something we did during our debrief, we had a week of debrief kind of processing everything that happened. There was a lot of cool things that happened and a lot of things that happened spiritually in each of us. So debrief is a great way to process that you're actually going home and that you're going to minister at home. And so, but we also got to do fun things during debrief, and we got to go ziplining. So this video is actually really bad because my glove was in front of the lens part of the time. But this is the quarter mile zipline, which was the last one. And I just thought I would share the video with you. So. So those were all treetops that we were going over. I was actually really scared to do this at first, but after doing the first few, I wasn't scared anymore and got to enjoy the view and see things from a different perspective, going over trees instead of under them. And like my D group leader brought it up as we were waiting in line. She was like, "It's so neat to look at God's beauty as you're going over it." And I was like, "You're definitely right. It's amazing." And like thinking of that every time I got on the next one, I would praise God in all these trees. And we didn't actually get to see any animals. They've actually seen a sloth before when they've done it, but we didn't see any animals. But just to see the great beauty from a different perspective was really cool. So that was my experience with Royal Servants. I'm hoping to go back next summer. I don't know if I will be able to because of starting college, but even to be a D group leader, I think after I start college, Royal Servants has done so much for me spiritually, and I definitely want to go back. It's a great experience. We had people from as young as 13 to as old as 21 as a D group leader, so it was definitely a great experience, and thank you for your prayers and support.
Well, there you have it. If you want to go ziplining, you have to join the Royal Servants and go to Costa Rica. I don't know if many of us would be willing to do that, but anyway. well, there's Angela's experience. One of the things as we move around and when the people find out that we were in Japan, often have questions about what's going on in Japan. And, you know, I looked through a lot of stuff that we've received and decided that one of the letters that we got from one of our missionaries really is probably, to me, it was very practical, and it gave me a pretty good view of what's happening there. And there's a lot of help being given by Red Cross, by all kinds of organizations, Franklin Graham, Samaritan Purse, for example. There are all kinds of organizations pouring in lots of resources at this time and giving help. But the needs there in the area of the earthquake and tsunami are really overwhelming. Let me just read some of this to you. Since the earthquake, over half of the Send missionaries here have made trips to the Tohoku, and that Tohoku region is the coastal area to the northeast from Tokyo, where we were. They have delivered tons of food and other supplies, cleaned out muddy houses, ran soccer games for the kids, visited people in evacuation centers, and established connections with local churches. And as a mission, Send International has chosen as their kind of strategy in all of this. Since there's so much help right now, we're wondering, okay, a year from now, what kind of help is going to be there? Because according to people, it's going to be years Some of the people are being displaced from the radiation area. They told them already, you can't go back home for 30 years. Can you imagine? I've got a home over there, just a few miles away. But my car is there. Everything is there. I can't go back and live there for 30 years. Now, they are permitted to go back, especially if they have animals, occasionally. The other thing that overwhelms me is that if where you live is totally devastated, the city offices, the banks, everything is gone, have you ever thought how you would reestablish your identity? In Japan, I mean, the city office is gone. All legal records, records of your passport, records of your driver's license, of the record of your bank accounts, it's all gone. You don't have any proof of anything. A lot of Japanese are that way today. They have no proof that they exist other than their body is there. I just wondered, that's why your fingerprint is pretty important. Because that identifies you. But if everything else is gone, that's the only identity you have. And wonder if it's in record somewhere. But here's the strategy and vision that our mission has to come alongside local churches, pastors, and lay people to help them serve their neighbors and communities, increasing their visibility, credibility, and drawing more Japanese to the gospel. Bob says in this letter that, you know, we're not seeing mass groups of people coming to know Christ as a result of the help from Christians and churches, but we are seeing some, and we have heard stories. The one I remember so well is a bar hostess, a gal that she lost her place of employment, she lost her home, she lost everything just like I described, and in effort to find something to eat, she found this local church, and they gave her the only thing that she had. They gave her some toiletries and gave her something to eat and gave her water. And she came back then, and she came back, and then she began to help others that were coming. She said, well, can I help do this distribution? And then they took her in, and then she began to attend the church. Then she accepted Christ as her Savior. So one at a time, as a result of these local believers and Christians, we're seeing the Japanese turn to Christ. I believe that God is shaking the nations. I think he's shaking London. He's shaking Afghanistan, or you name it, trying to get people to wake up and to open their eyes to see that indeed this could be the last days, and it's a time for people to recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit in drawing people to himself. Our time is really short. I'm not going to read any more of this letter, but there are several things that I think believers ought to be involved in right now. And of course, prayer. It applies whether you're praying for the refugees in Japan, or the refugees in a starving nation in Africa, or people fleeing the city because of rioting. We can lift those people up in prayer. As you watch the news, you know, just close your eyes and pray that God would have his own way, and that out of this chaos, something good would come. And then don't tighten your purse springs. Not springs, but maybe we feel like money springs out of our purses, but I mean purse strings. Don't tighten them because we fear the economy and that I'm not going to have enough. I think just the opposite ought to happen. I think that there are going to be a lot of believers that are going to be ashamed when they stand before the throne because of their bank accounts. They had lots, and they just simply always were afraid, well, I won't have enough, so I'm not going to be generous. I think we are called to generosity. So that's something else you could do. And then the third thing is that, you know, you might think, well, this is the last thing I would do, is to actually volunteer. There are places and people that need you today, and there are all kinds of interesting ways to serve, whether it's on a zip line in Costa Rica, or it's on board a ship, being part of the mechanical crew, or if it's going to Japan into an area of devastation and serving, cleaning, scraping mud out of houses. There are ways that we can serve. And if God speaks to you in any of these ways, I would encourage you to respond today. Back in Philippians, this portion ends. I'm just going to read a few more verses from the first chapter. I read to you about the God's grace that we share in God's grace as we stand behind those that are active on the mission field or in full-time service. And then picking up in verse 8 through verse 11, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Especially in verse 9, this is my prayer. This is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So as we think of the song we sang, Make Me a Blessing, and then Paul's challenge to stand firm, and then as we read these verses, we can see that indeed, it doesn't matter whether you're invalided or you're the most athletic person there is, there is a way to serve him through our lives. And indeed, if he's calling to us this morning again to do it, let's be responsive to that call. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time of sharing. There's so much that could be said, both from your word and from testimony. We just ask that you would quicken these things to our hearts and minds. We pray that the scripture especially would work, and because of the power of the Spirit behind those words. Thank you for Angela's experience in Costa Rica and for all of the other 299 plus kids that were involved. Now they're all back here in the States reporting today, probably many of them reporting in their churches. Make their testimony effective, we pray, and continue to work in their hearts and lives. We do pray for people in London, other places of turmoil. We think of people in Japan that are without their homes, that have lost everything. We pray that the church in Japan, those 80 churches in that area, that they would be effective in meeting needs and loving people into the kingdom. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that's going to happen there. And we do ask now that you would work in our hearts and lives. Help us to see what we can do to be involved in the lives of those who do not know you. We just commit ourselves to that task now in Jesus' name. Amen.